Hare Krishna. So we're going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, we're going to read from a different verse this morning. This is a verse that's in relation to book distribution in the 10th canto. This is chapter 2, text number 19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sadevaki Sarva Jagan Nivaso Nivaso Bhuta Nitaram Narete Ujjandragehe Sikhevaruda Sarasvati Khyana Kaleyatasati. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devaki then kept within herself the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the foundation of the entire cosmos. But because she was under arrest in the house of Kamsa, she was like the flames of a fire covered by the walls of a pot, or like a person who has knowledge but cannot distribute it to the world for the benefit of human society. So this is the 10th canto, 2nd chapter. Prabhupada is in Vrindavan. I mentioned yesterday how Prabhupada was right to his last breath, he was preaching. So Prabhupada is in Vrindavan and he's giving this wonderful purport. He's laying on his disappearance bed. Pretty amazing. Wonderful purport. He says, in this verse, the word Jnana Kala is most significant. Knowledge is meant for distribution. Although there is already much scientific knowledge, whenever scientists or philosophers awaken to a particular type of knowledge, they try to distribute it throughout the world. For otherwise, the knowledge gradually dries up and no one benefits from it. India has the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but unfortunately, for some reason or other, this sublime knowledge of the science of God was not distributed throughout the world, although it is meant for all of human society. Therefore, Krishna himself appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and ordered all Indians to take up the cause of distributing knowledge of Bhagavad Gita throughout the world. Yari Dekatari Kaha Krishna Upades Amara Agyaya Guru Manakari Days instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Shri Krishna as they are given in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Manjulita 7.128. Although India has a sublime knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Indians have not done their proper duty of distributing it. Now, therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement has been set up to distribute this knowledge as it is, without distortion. Although previously there were attempts to distribute the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, these attempts involved distortion and compromise with mundane knowledge. But now the Krishna consciousness movement, without mundane compromises, is distributing Bhagavad Gita as it is, and people are deriving the benefits of awakening to Krishna consciousness and becoming devotees of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the proper distribution of knowledge has begun, by which not only will the whole world benefit, but India's glory will be magnified in human society. Kamsa tried to arrest Krishna consciousness within his house. Ujjandragehe. With the result Daikangsa, with this opulences, was later vanquished. Similarly, the real knowledge of Bhagavad Gita was being choked by unscrupulous Indian leaders, with the result that India's culture and knowledge of the Supreme were being lost. Now, however, because Krishna consciousness is spreading, the proper use of Bhagavad Gita is being attempted. Om Yanata Manandasya, Yanandana Salakaya, Chakshuram Laitam Dina, Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha, Mukham Protavachalam, Hamunam, Vaide Guru, Yatripataraham Bande Sri Gurum Dina Dharanam, Vanchakapa Tribhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Devacha, Paditanam Pavanevyo, Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha, Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Goku, can you open this? My fingers are slippery or something. So this verse and is very interesting because it's been given a clear understanding of the importance of giving knowledge out to others. Thank you. So there's so much knowledge being distributed throughout the world. Prabhupada mentions that the scientists, they obtain some knowledge and they immediately distribute it. And get their, some of them get their Nobel prizes. So it's natural you get some knowledge and you want to share it. But unfortunately, the Bhagavad Gita was not being presented as it is. Unscrupulous people, as Prabhupada mentions, purport for giving their own interpretation of the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore Srila Prabhupada, he called the Bhagavad Gita that he translated, Bhagavad Gita as it is, because it's the actual teaching of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, because he had love for Krishna, he didn't change the teaching. Other people who had some academic qualification, some Sanskrit knowledge, they translated it, because there was no love for Krishna, they couldn't actually give the message of Krishna. It's just like if you have a very good friend that you have love for, and that person tells you to pass on a message to someone, because there's affection there, you're not going to change it. But if there's no love there, and not only no love, but if there's some envy there, then the message might get changed. And even, you might have had this experience in school. In America they do this, it's a common thing that the students all sit in a circle, and one of the students, he relays a message to another student. And it goes around. He relays it to him. They whisper the message. And then by the time it gets around to the original person, it's completely changed. Not the original message. So that's another thing, is that we have imperfect senses. The children, they all have imperfect senses. They might have heard wrong. There's imperfect senses. There's a tendency to cheat. It's another big one. And this is generally what the so-called Swamis and Gurus, their tendency to cheat. So they weren't giving the real message. Also, tendency to be an illusion. So, because these personalities that were distributing, trying to distribute Bhagavad Gita, because they had all these flaws, the actual teaching, that the spirit of Bhagavad Gita was not being distributed. But upon the appearance of a pure devotee, immediately the real message comes out, and people all over the world are inspired. All these other Bhagavad Gitas, no one became a devotee of Krishna. Nobody became a devotee of Krishna. That alone says a lot. But Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is, goes out, and now thousands of people all over the world have become devotees of Krishna. Very interesting. Therefore, it's called Bhagavad Gita as it is, and all the other Bhagavad Gitas are called Bhagavad Gita as it isn't, because it's not the real thing. It's not the real teaching. So we're very fortunate that we have this knowledge. And Krishna says, Nahi jnanena satvasam pavitram iha vidyate. There is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. And when one has become accomplished in the practice of this knowledge, then one experiences and enjoys life from within. This is the statement of Krishna. Nothing is so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge, because by knowledge one becomes liberated from darkness, from ignorance. And so this knowledge is so important, this knowledge that we've been given. And therefore it's so important that we get it out to others. Singheshwar, who yesterday informed me that in 2010, they distributed 50,000 books in Malaysia. Last year, 40,000. Decrease, not good. Prabhupada, when he would hear the big book distribution results, the devotees would be very happy that Prabhupada is going to be so pleased when he hears these huge book distribution results. And Prabhupada would hear these huge results, and then he would say, now double it. Now double it. And they were like, oh, okay, die, Prabhupada. And they would try to do it, because Prabhupada was so dear to them. So, not only did you not double it, you didn't even match it, you decreased. So to make up for the decrease of 2011, you should try to increase for 2012 and try to do 60,000. Make up for the 10,000 that you made that you were down from last year. It's not that. If one has a desire, then amazing things can be done. I just recently heard about a team of devotees in India, maybe about 5 devotees. They distributed 66,000 books in December for the marathon. So now we're talking about the whole country of Malaysia for 1 year doing 60,000. So it shouldn't be that difficult. Just have to put some emphasis on this activity of book distribution. Prabhupada, he said he wanted everybody to learn the art of book distribution. Anybody can learn it, not that hard. There's experienced devotees here that can help others. If you're a little rusty, then you can get help from others. But mainly, as they say, it's a question of desire. If you want to do it, then Krishna will help you. And therefore, the devotees, one Sankirtan leader, he told Srila Prabhupada that he's trying to inspire the team, Sankirtan team that he's in charge of, to regularly read the books. And Prabhupada replied, he gave a very interesting reply. He said, this is the actual technique for distributing my books. And there's so many different techniques that devotees come up with. But Prabhupada said, this is the actual technique. Why? Because purity is the force. Purity is the force. If we hear nicely, then we'll be inspired to serve Krishna. We'll be inspired to give this knowledge out to others. But if we don't have good sadhana, then how will we be strong? It's like Prabhupada, one of my favorite letters. He wrote this letter to all the devotees of one temple. I think it was the Los Angeles temple. He said, you should have no doubt about it. Book distribution is our most important activity. Our temples are not bases for eating and sleeping, but they are bases for distributing this knowledge. He said, just like during wartime, the bombs are falling from the sky like anything. And so he considered our temples bases from which we send out our soldiers to fight against Maya. It's a war. This is a war against Maya. And so when there's a war, the soldiers, they've got to be in good shape. It's like there was the famous battle of Kurukshetra. Now you can imagine how strong these soldiers were. They were really in good shape. They all had their armor, and they had their weapons, and they were very strong. Some of them were Maharathis, could fight with thousands of soldiers, powerful. So they were all ready for war. So imagine one of these soldiers goes out into the battlefield and he's just wearing pajamas. You know, no armor, no weapon, not in good shape. He's not going to have a good chance of having any success. So if we go on a book distribution and we don't have this hearing and chanting, then it'll be just like that. It'll be like going out on the battlefield with pajamas on. You're not prepared. So to be prepared to fight against Maya means that we have to hear our round very nicely. Prabhupada said 99% of our advancements, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. He said 99% of our advancement in Krishna consciousness is in the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. So our ability to distribute this knowledge is also very much dependent on quality of chanting. Very much dependent on it. And we also have to read Prabhupada's books diligently. Prabhupada says in one purport that if one hears Srimad Bhagavatam with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. It's like if someone is a hypocrite, doing one thing and saying another thing, then who's gonna listen to him? Right? Hypocrite. There's a saying that your actions are so loud that I can't hear your words. You heard this before? The actions, your hypocritical actions are so loud that I can't hear your words. You see? So it's the actions which are very important. And Prabhupada goes on to say that one cannot be pure in action if one is not pure in eating, sleeping, making, and defending. So our ability to hear with rapt attention is dependent on how much we're eating. If we eat too much, then it'll be difficult to hear nicely. It's like here in class, many people going to sleep, maybe ate too much last night, maybe. We have an amazing phenomenon in our ISKCON society that sometimes at night it's difficult to sleep, right? Because, you know, sometimes it's difficult to sleep. Even though the lights are out, you're laying down on your bed, and sometimes it's hard to sleep. Yeah, sometimes. But in Bhagavatam class, you're sitting up, the lights are on, someone's speaking in the microphone, and still, as soon as they say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, then people start to go to sleep. Interesting phenomenon. Because the soul, the false ego, or the false ego doesn't want to hear. The false ego doesn't want to hear. Surrender. Go out and distribute books. The false ego, no, goes to sleep. So, actually, this is very important, though. It's very important. So, one should not eat too much. Eating, sleeping, we should not sleep too much, especially during Bhagavatam class. That's the worst time to sleep during Bhagavatam class. Prabhupada used to say that 7 hours, 6 or 7 hours is good. One time he said 8. But we don't need to sleep much. Mode of ignorance. We sleep enough to get enough to do our service. We have to get some sleep. We have to eat something, but not more. If we sleep more than necessary, we eat more than necessary, then this can be a stumbling block in our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Vacho vegam, manasaprodha vegam, jiva vegam, rupasta vegam. Etana vegam yoga sahetadira sarvama pramam kubim sasasya. That one who is vacho vegam, one who is one who's able to control the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the tongue, belly, and genitals, is qualified to make disciples all over the world. So this Krishna consciousness means we have to control. We shouldn't overdo it in these bodily activities. So eating, sleeping, mating. Of course, mating is only for raising Krishna conscious children. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I would have a 1,000 children if I knew they would become Krishna conscious. So he played it safe and just remained a brahmacharya and then took sannyas. Because it's difficult to raise Krishna conscious children, even Prabhupada. How many children did he have? I think he had about 6 children. Prabhupada's a pure devotee. He's the Shakti Vaishavatar, Paramahamsa. And not one of them became a devotee. 6 children. And Advaitacharya, he had 6 children. 3 of them deviated, and 3 of them were devotees. So Advaitacharya, he's God. He's God with Mahavishnu. And 3 of his children deviated. So what to speak of ourselves? Very difficult to raise Krishna conscious children. So eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Defense. This people are always, there's always some type of defense. It's like all the countries in the world, they all have their armies to defend their country. And families, they have their way to protect their families. They have insurance. There's so many different types of insurance. There's house insurance, there's car insurance, there's dental insurance, there's health insurance, there's all types of insurance for protection. Right? So we are also interested in protection. We want to be protected from the illusory energy. And therefore Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prapanam paimami shambhitam ritrudhamarana. Krishna has explained it to Uddhava. This is how you should pray to me in the form of the deity. Prapanam paimami shambhitam ritrudhamarana. Please, Krishna, protect me, who I'm trying to surrender unto. I'm very fearful of this material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. So this is how we should pray to Krishna. Please, Krishna, protect me, who I'm trying to surrender unto you. I'm very fearful of this material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. We said that prayer just in time. And so, when we give people Srila Prabhupada's books, we're giving them an opportunity to become fearless. We're giving them an opportunity to understand who God is. There's so much speculation about who God is. You know, some people say God is light. Or some people say God is love. God is energy. Not very often do you hear that God is a person that has feelings. But He is. He has desires. He has feelings. I think we might be the only ones that are explaining this. There's a word, Kautika. Kautika means God has the best sense of humor. He's very funny, very amusing. His name is Krishna because he's so attractive. He's attractive in so many varieties of ways. It's like there's the opulences, the six opulences of Krishna: beauty, wealth, strength, fame, renunciation, and knowledge. Krishna's very strong, very powerful. He's known as Satya Sankalpa, that whatever he wants, it just happens immediately. It's like now you're trying to build a temple in Pilang, I believe. And it's, how long now have you been working on this?
No.
1 year?
No. Not yet.
No, but for how long? How many years have you been?
2.5 years.
2.5 years ago. So 2.5 years so far, you've been working on, now you're another year, and have you finished? So 3.5 years, work, a lot of work. But Krishna, if he wanted the temple built, it just happens. It disappears. And then there was that example of Sudama Brahmana. Sudama Brahmana, very poor Brahmana. His wife was aware that he had a nice relationship with a big personality, God, Krishna. So she told her husband, why don't you go and see if Krishna can help us a little bit, you know. But Sudama Brahmana, he didn't want to. Simple, pure Brahmana, he was satisfied. But upon this request, he went to see Krishna in Dwarka. And whenever you go to see the Supreme Lord, you should bring something. It's like when people come to the temple, they always bring something, some fruit or flowers or donation, something. It's just etiquette. So he was very poor, all he brought was some chipped rice. And Krishna received him very nicely, washed his feet. Just see how humble Krishna is. So many wonderful qualities about Krishna. So humble. Just like the Rajasuya sacrifice. Anybody know what Krishna was doing? Bhima, he was in charge of the kitchen. This way he could eat a lot also. And Karna was in charge of giving gifts. Does anybody know what Krishna was doing? He was washing everyone's feet. Just see. And there was a lot of people coming that were envious of Krishna. Yeah. All the Kurus were coming also. Duryodhana, he was washing everyone's feet. So humble. So back to the Sudama story. So he's washing his feet and doing aarti to him. So nice, fanning him. And then Krishna says, oh, Sudama, haven't you brought something for me? And he was shy, he didn't want to give it. So Krishna got it and he's eating this chipped rice. Very simple. So he just takes a couple of bites and then Rukmini says, no, Krishna, that's enough. You will benefit so much just by what you eat. And so then Sudama left and he's going back to his home. And he was thinking, just see, Krishna knows my heart, so he didn't give me anything. So he was appreciating it. And Krishna, he knew that if I were to get something, I might become bewildered. So then he gets to the place where his home is, and there's a huge mansion. Huge mansion. There's all these servants around. He's like, am I in the right neighborhood? What's going on? And then his wife comes up to him and she looks like the goddess of fortune with all the beautiful dress and everything and makeup. And she says, oh, my husband, look what Krishna's done. So Krishna just manifested this huge mansion for the pleasure of his devotee. So this is Krishna, such a sankalpa, such a wonderful personality. God is so wonderful, so kind. So when we distribute books, we're giving people an opportunity to understand how great God is, how wonderful He is, how strong He is, how beautiful He is. Krishna is so strong. They have these, around the world, they have these competitions of strongmen. I think the world record is something like 590 pounds. I don't know how many kilos that is, but that's a lot of kilos. And these guys are struggling to lift these weights. They're struggling to lift this weight. But Krishna, he lifts Govardhan Hill. And it was a big mountain at that time. And he's not struggling, straining to lift this mountain. Pinky of his left hand, nonchalantly. Like it's not a difficult thing at all. 7 days. So strong. Krishna's so strong. Krishna holds the world record for weightlifting on the planet. Unfortunately, people don't know. So we're letting people know by this book distribution that Krishna is the strongest. He's the most beautiful. It's like in some religions they depict God as being very old. Of course, Krishna is very old. Advaitam, Achyutam, Anadim, Anantarupam, Adyam, Prana, Ursam, Navayoga, Namcha. He's very old. Prana means very old. Krishna is very old. But he doesn't look old. Krishna doesn't look old. He looks like an ever-fresh youth, like 16 years old. He's very youthful, very beautiful. So beauty, wealth, Krishna's so wealthy, he owns everything. Just like recently, this Steve Jobs, he left his body recently. Multi-billionaire. So he had so much wealth, but he couldn't take anything with him. Billions of dollars he had. Apple, CEO. So wealthy, could not take one penny with him. Nothing. We're all born in this world with nothing but our desires. And we leave this world with nothing but our desires and our karma. But you're also born in this world with desires and karma. We leave this world with desires, but hopefully we can become free of our karma. That's what this process is about, becoming free of all the reactions that are due to us, due to sinful activities. This process of Krishna consciousness is purifying of all the reactions to our sinful activities. So by the time we leave this world, no more reaction, no more karma. Just one desire, to serve Krishna. That's the goal. That's the goal of this process. And this is the perfection of the human form of life. Antakali tamamedas param bhavkalevara. Krishna says, and anyone who thinks of me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the end he will come to me. So this is the goal. Throughout this life, think of Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Chetasa sarvakarmani mayasanyasamapara. Krishna says that all activities depend on me and always work under my protection. In such devotional service, fully surrender to me. So when we distribute these books, we're giving people an opportunity to get out of the cycle of birth and death. We're giving them an opportunity to experience their natural life. What is the natural life? The natural life, the pure life, is eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And this is our natural position. We're meant to have this full knowledge, not all this scientific garbage knowledge that's being thrown on all the students throughout the world. Evolution and Big Bang, all this crazy speculation. No, we're giving them real knowledge. Knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of God. That we're all eternal. That we're spiritual beings. We're not these gross bags of blood, bones, and mucus, and stool, and urine, all these things. We're not this at all. So this is the mission of this society, is to help people understand the absolute truth. Many times when I'm distributing books, people ask me, well, why are you here? And I tell them, I'm on a mission to increase wisdom in the world. That's our mission. Also, sarva sukhino bhavantu. Our mission is to help everyone become happy. That's our mission. To help everyone become happy and to help everyone become wise. What a great mission. What a wonderful mission. So somehow we have to understand how important this is. In our books, it's mentioned that the first class devotee is someone who sees Krishna everywhere. Therefore, it's difficult for him to preach. He sees that everybody is serving Krishna. Even the drunkard, he sees that everybody is serving Krishna. He can't preach. And therefore, sometimes the first class devotee comes down to second class devotee. The second class devotee, he sees Krishna, he sees the devotee, he sees the envious, and he sees the innocent. He sees these four types. Yeah. So therefore he's able to preach. He sees who's innocent and who's envious. And he avoids those who are envious. And those who are innocent, then he tries to give them Krishna consciousness. Just like yesterday I was mentioning that not everybody will take, so not everybody is ready. Some people are just, they're envious. They don't want to hear about God. People come here to forget God. So we should be surprised if someone does want to hear about God, that someone does want to take a book. Because people come here to forget God. But there are people, there's those rare souls that actually want to know about God. People that have suffered, or people that are inquisitive, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, artha, vijyasa, artha, jnani, cha, bharatarsava. People that are looking for wealth. Religions are very wealthy. I had one devotee friend of mine, he said that he knew a friend of his before he joined Krishna consciousness, whose father heard that from someone that if you want to be wealthy, become a preacher. And he became a big preacher and became very wealthy. Got a big house. So religion means there's wealth there. So sometimes people also join our society. because they know they're going to get, you know, two or three good meals a day, they're going to get a roof over their head, especially in third world countries. You know, they know they're going to get something by which they'll be taken care of. So, I'm thinking young people are inquisitive. Some people are inquisitive. They want to know, what is this about? People buy our books sometimes. They're just inquisitive. They want to know. I was distributing books one time at a university, and one student came to my table. And I was explaining the book, and this person said that he was a Christian. And I said, oh, that's very good. You believe in God. That's very good. Now it's becoming rare. So, very good. And he said that he would like to purchase the book from me, the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, oh, that's very good that you like to study different religions. And he replied, no, I'm not interested in knowing or in your beliefs. I want to know what I'm against, what I'm up against, what I have to preach against to convince someone to not be a Hare Krishna. But Krishna actually, sometimes Krishna tricks them, you know. Krishna gets this idea in them. But actually they get purified. By reading about Krishna, they become purified. Even though there may be some, in the beginning there may be some envious attitude. Anybody that reads Prabhupada's books, they become purified. Just like I was distributing books one time at in Australia, and I knocked on a door, I was going door to door. And this man said, he saw the Bhagavad Gita, he said, no, I'm not interested. I worship Satan. So I said, oh, you worship Satan. I worship God. And this book is about God. So you should take it and you find out what your enemy is about. So he said, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, yeah. He gave $20 and he took the Bhagavad Gita. So he could find out where his enemy is at, what he's up against. There was one person, he was very inimical to devotees. Very inimical. He used to throw rocks at our temple when he would go by. And one time a devotee became very upset. He became angry. He went over to this person. He started beating him. And this person, after he got beaten up by this devotee, he was impressed. He was impressed. Because he thought the devotees were just a bunch of sentimental, you know, monks that, you know, no real life in them. So he became impressed. Well, these guys, you know, they're not sissies. You understand the word sissy? Sissy, you know the word? Do you have a word in Malay? They don't know. What they have a word in Malay that would understand? Similar word in... Sissy means like a boy that acts like a girl. It's a boy that acts like a girl. Yeah. A little strange and funny. So he thought they were sissies. So he actually became a devotee. This person that used to throw rocks at the temple. He became a devotee. Because he was impressed by that. So sometimes people are envious of us in the beginning. But somehow they have a change. So some people are even envious of Krishna consciousness, and they get a book just to find some fault. But then they also become devotees. Yeah, that happens. So somehow we have to get this knowledge out to the people for their benefit and to please Krishna. So. Again, with the second class, he sees Krishna, he sees the devotee, he serves the devotee, he serves Krishna. The innocent, he tries to help. So we have this knowledge that Prabhupada's mentioned here in the purport, And in the translation, this knowledge is meant to be distributed. That's why Prabhupada came to the West. That's why Prabhupada traveled all over the world to somehow encourage his disciples to distribute this knowledge. This is what is most needed. And all of you are able to distribute books. You're not 90 years old. You're not in your wheelchair. And even we have this devotee that's here. What a great example. What's his name? He has the bad leg again. What's his name? Nila Madhava. What a great soul. You know, here he's crippled practically. Very difficult for him to get around. But he's so dedicated to book distribution. What a great inspiration for all of Malaysia. If he can distribute books, then anybody can distribute books. Yeah? You know, we're healthy, we can move around, we can speak, you know, no problem. How long has he been distributing books?
2 years.
Huh?
Quite a few years.
Nobody knows how many years has he been distributing books?
3 years
he's been distributing books, okay. So this is very good. And how old is he? He also doesn't look young. How old?
50 plus,
55 or something, yeah. Distributing books. So this is very auspicious. He's a good example here in Malaysia. So you can learn something from that. Prabhupada, he wanted his disciples to utilize their youth in spreading Krishna consciousness. Maybe he won't be able to do it full time. Not everybody can do it full time. But Prabhupada wanted everybody to go out once a week. When Prabhupada was here in the early days, in the temples, everybody would go out. Only one person would stay back, Pujari, take care of the deities. Otherwise, everybody, BBT would go out, the cooks would go out, the BBT, everybody would go out on book distribution. And he wrote a letter that everybody should join the Sankirtan party. So, because Prabhupada is very compassionate, and if we somehow imbibe the mood of Srila Prabhupada, we can become Prabhupada Nugas, pray for this compassion, then Krishna, he will give it to us. Compassion is a very wonderful, very exalted quality in the nectar of devotion. Prabhupada says that one is considered to be great who has compassion for the living entities. If we have compassion for the living entities, one is considered to be a great personality. So we can pray for that compassion. Krishna will give it. He wants us to be compassionate. He wants us to give up our low qualities and develop our higher qualities of tolerance, compassion, mercy. We have to pray to Krishna for that. And pray for a desire to give this, to distribute this knowledge to the people. Prabhupada says in one purport, the Bhagavad Gita, that the best way to train the mind is to always be thinking of how to help others. The best training for the mind is to always be thinking of how to help others. Because the mind is generally, it's selfish, envious, you know, all the bad qualities are there. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, it's all there, it's centered in the mind. So the best training of the mind to get out of these bad qualities is to go out and help others. This beats the mind down. This beats all these bad qualities down, and the good qualities arise, compassion, and tolerance, and equality, samo dhammas, dhashvacham, austerity. So all these wonderful qualities come out if we can somehow beat these lower qualities down and pray to Krishna for this ability to go out. Just once a week. If everybody in Malaysia goes out once a week, you're going to have no problem doing 60,000. You'll do much more. Probably do 100,000. If everybody in the country goes out. How many devotees are in Malaysia? Anybody know? Any idea? 500 devotees. 5,000 devotees. Wow. And I guarantee you, Jayapataka Swami will be very happy. You should promote this somehow. You should somehow promote this. That all the devotees, 5,000 devotees, go out once a week. Even if it's just 1 hour, 2 hours, just go out once a week. And you'll see the whole consciousness in the Malaysia yatras will increase. And people will be joining also, because people are getting books. You know, you can't lose if we somehow can pick up this book distribution. Then you can't lose. You're benefiting because you're going out and you're doing the Lord Chaitanya's mission. The people are getting books. You're getting purified. Your spiritual master is so pleased. Jayapataka Swami is so much into book distribution. I don't know how he's doing it, but he did 2,000 Bhagavad Gita's, I think, in November. He's very much into book distribution. So, please, I beg you, have compassion on the conditioned souls. Pray to Krishna for this compassion. Go out once a week. You'll benefit, the people will benefit, Krishna will be pleased, your spiritual master will be pleased. So, on that note, I think I'll stop here. Any question or comment? Yes, Guru. You have to speak louder, I can't hear you very well.
How do the 50,000 books, you know, they distribute in Malaysia?
Yeah.
So how many devotees
would be? Oh, so the question is 50,000 books were distributed in 2010. So how many devotees have come out of that 50,000? Well, only Krishna knows. But even if not one of those who received books, those 50,000 books, not one of them becomes a devotee, still, they benefit. The books are in their homes. They're benefiting. Prabhupada said it's like having a deity in their home. To become a devotee is not easy. Bahunam janmanam ante. After many verses, one who's actually in knowledge surrenders unto me. But you're getting them started. They may not become a devotee in this life, but they're definitely getting some start. They gave a donation for a book. They got a book. It's in their home. That's a huge step in their spiritual progress. And some will become devotees. We don't know. I've distributed so many books. And I don't find out. I don't know who becomes devotees. But I do find out that some have become devotees. I was at a Rath Yatra one time in Toronto. And somebody came up, he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "Oh, Vijay, I want to thank you very much for distributing books." And I said, "Oh, you're welcome." "Now, how? What is this?" He said, "Oh, one friend of mine, 20 years ago, he got a book from you. You signed the book. And he knew that I was into it, so he gave the book to me. And now I've been a devotee for 20 years because you distributed the book to my friend." I was very happy. Success. So some people are becoming devotees. But again, even if they don't become devotees, still they benefit. They're giving money to Krishna. All their hard-earned money, or some of their hard-earned money, is going to Krishna. So that goes to their eternal benefit. They've got a book. They may read the book, even if they don't become a devotee. If they read even one page, one line, they benefit. So it's a very, very, very auspicious activity. Practically speaking, it's the most auspicious activity that we have in this world. And Prabhupada therefore said, if you want to please me, distribute books. So it's very, very important.
Time bomb.
Time bomb, yes. Sometimes there's that one story of one boy, he wanted to know about God. So he went to his mother and said, "You know, I'm curious. I want to know about God. Can you help me?" She said, well, have you read the Bible? And he said, yeah, I read the Bible. I want to know more. And then she remembered that 25 years or 20 years earlier, she had gotten a Krishna book from a devotee. And it was sitting in her bookcase. And she brought it to her son and said, wait, check this out. Maybe it'll answer some of your questions. So he read that book, Krishna book, and became a devotee. He's a devotee now. It was sitting there for 20 years, 25 years, just waiting. Time bomb. Yeah, there's many time bombs that are in people's homes. And it may even be that you distribute a book to somebody, and it sits in the person's home for 40 years, and the person you distribute it to doesn't even pick it up. But this man's children inherit the house, and his child sees the book and picks it up, and he becomes a devotee 60 years after the book was distributed. Because books last. They last. Therefore, Prabhupada, he wanted the hardbound books because they last. They last a long time. Very important. Small books are nice also. They make devotees. But the best is the big one because they can last a long time if they're printed nicely. Okay, anything else? Transcendental Book Distribution, Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Malaysia distributing 60,000 books in 2012, Ki Jai. Or
2012.
We're
having a Hindu festival during this next week.
Yeah, you guys have to get fired up. Hey, how did you open that? I couldn't open it. Oh, you broke it on the bottom.
You already opened it. You already tied it. Actually, we can open here. It's a closing.
Yeah, we tried. It was my fingers were slippery.
I think you did the other thing.
Huh? I think wrong. No, so I don't know how that happened.
I eat that.
He did that. He did it. Good. So tomorrow, that's the verse.